The NBA draft lottery behind us, the picks in focus. It's time to start separating the wheat from the chaff, or wheat from the chaff, or whatever it is. It's time to talk about our favorite draft topic. It's wingspan day. Let's talk about some combine measurements and how that changes how we view some of our prospects, or maybe not. We'll find out on today's Locked On Magic.
You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And you are indeed Locked On Magic. Today is May 18th, 2023. My name is Philip Rossmanike. I'm the expert and site editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. On today's episode of Locked On Magic, we're going to talk about draft combine measurements. It's time for our favorite draft word, wingspan day. I'm going to call this episode wingspan day. We're going to talk about wingspans. We're going to talk about heights. We're going to talk about standing reaches and max verts and how some of these might change our perception of players as we begin our draft process. Some players that are moving up on draft boards, or at least making me give them a second look because of their measurement. We'll talk about that and players who are moving down because of them coming up on today's episode. But before we do that, we want to thank you again for making Locked On Magic part of your day every day, no matter when you listen to us, whether it's first thing in the morning, whether it's right when we upload. We truly appreciate you making Locked On Magic part of your day every day. Remember, there's a great Locked On podcast covering every single team in the NBA. Just search for Locked On and the team you're looking for, the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. We're going to start today with this word of caution. Everything that comes out of the NBA Draft Combine is good information. It's not bad. It's just hard to decipher. How much does a height or wingspan ultimately matter? Yes, there are physical tools that are put on display, but it's how you use those tools that matter. And we'll talk about a few players that, you know, we'll talk in the second segment a little bit more about players who may have tools that aren't going to use them or can rise above the tools that they have. I would say when it comes to the draft combine, don't get married to one stat. Don't disqualify a player because they don't have a certain characteristic that you like. But understand that it is all part of the context. It is still a piece of the pie. Just like when it comes to these interviews. Every NBA team sends a request to the NBA for players they'd like to interview. The NBA assigns these interviews out. They are not the be-all, end-all, and they're not even necessarily a statement of interest. So the big news coming out of the NBA Draft Combine for the Orlando Magic, at least on Wednesday, is that both Amen and Ausar Thompson confirmed that they had a meeting with the Orlando Magic at the NBA Draft Combine. That means that they spoke to the Magic for, it's like 15, 20, 30-minute interviews. Likely a quick introduction, you know, start building that profile, get a sense of these kids. I would suspect both Amen and Ausar Thompson will be in Orlando for individual workouts, maybe together, maybe not. I don't know if they're traveling the circuit together, but I imagine they will both be in Orlando later on, or they will have future meetings with Orlando so the Magic can get a better sense of who these kids are. Because right now, all we have is game tape, which I think game tape is the most important piece of information that you have. And now we have these draft combine measurements. On Monday and Tuesday, I think it was Monday, the NBA essentially did official measurements that are sent out to everyone in the league. There's no hiding them. If you're at the combine, you got measured. And now we have an official measurement and an official accounting for your physical traits. And this is always the most awkward and silly part of the draft process, but now we know what you're working with, so to speak. Amen and Ausar Thompson were the most high-profile players to participate in this part of the combine. And naturally, because they're twins, they are virtually the same. Both are 6'5" and 3/4 inch without shoes. Both have a 7-foot wingspan. Their other measurements virtually the same. Ausar has slightly wider hands 9.25 inches. Amen came at 8.5. Asar has a standing reach of 8 feet 8 inches compared to Amen's 8 foot 7.5. So no huge difference. They're identical twins. You expect them to be the same. They didn't participate. I haven't seen them participate in the shooting drills. They didn't participate in the athletic drills. They got their measurements and they're doing their interviews and they're getting out of there. That's what they should do as players in the top five. The top three, Scoot Henderson, Brandon Miller, and obviously Victor Wembanyama, did not participate in the draft combine measurements either. I believe Brandon and Scoot are at the combine still, but I don't think they elected to participate in anything. So what we're really talking about here is kind of picking through the weeds to determine to kind of split hairs on guys who aren't the top guys. The top guys are the top guys. They know they're the top guys. They know where they're going. So the question then becomes, how much do you value these stats and what changes because of them? In some respects, not much should. You're judging them on the player, not on their measurables. But at the same time, you're also trying to project forward. And guys with good measurables can project forward really well. And so I think it's important here to take a step and think about the guys who did show out, whose measurables are, you know, maybe a little surprising or do hint that there's something more. And I got to start with two guys that I am particularly low on for the Magic, but their measurables essentially mean that they had a good draft combine. So I'm going to start with Cam Whitmore. I've seen a lot of mock drafts mock Cam Whitmore to Orlando. He is a great scorer. He is a bowling ball in the paint, really physical player, great two-legged leaper, and that was on display at the draft combine. Cam Whitmore came in 6'5", 0.75 inches without shoes, 6'8", 8.5 inch wingspan. So a plus wingspan, although not by a ton. He's probably going to play the three a little bit. He's probably not quick laterally enough to play the two. But his athleticism really stood out, and that's essentially what he's being drafted on. Whitmore posted the fourth best max vertical leap, and the max vertical leap is you get like a running start and then you jump off of two legs to one of those like little jumpy things with the little levers that you have to knock. A 40.5 inch vertical leap, really, really impressive. And this is a kid who is a really good athlete. The question with him is about his shooting, in my mind. He is a capable three-point shooter. You look at his tape, he can make shots. He can hit shots off the dribble. He's got some nice sidestep moves. He shot 77% from the foul line, and that scares me because that's a good sign. That's not a good sign, but you watch his tape and you can see and believe that he can be a good three-point shooter, and he is such a sneaky athlete. He is big. He is built well. Let me check his weight. Let me get his official weight here real fast while I'm thinking about it. Give me a sec. Let me look. I've got the whole sheet up here. Cam Whitmore came in at 6'5", 0.75 inches. Like I said, 235 pounds. There are players bigger than him that do not weigh as much as he is, as he does. Asar Thompson is the same height at 218.2 pounds. So this is a guy who is physically built well. He can take a pounding. He can dish out that pounding. A lot of people suspect that he can be a good defender. The question is about his three-point shooting consistency. And the question is a little bit about his athleticism as far as jumping off of one leg. He's a great two-legged jumper. But one leg on the run, a little bit more of a question. But again, you can see that athleticism. You can see that power in the numbers from his draft combine. And so I think you do have to... I'm not particularly high on Cam Whitmore. I will admit that. I'll watch some more tape on him. Maybe I'll come around. But these combine numbers certainly make you think like, okay, there is clay to work with here. There's something we can work with here. Even if it's just raw talent, even if it's raw potential, you can mold this into something. And that, of course, is part of the thought process and part of what this team is thinking about, what every team is going to be thinking about as they get to the draft. The other player that I think really helped himself a lot during the combine is Jairus Walker. I have not been super high on Jairus Walker for the Magic. I think he could be a really good player. solid defender at the college level, great screener, great passer, great facilitator at the college level. I think he would fit for a lot of teams. A lot of people are starting to compare him to Draymond Green. I think he fits with a lot of teams. I just don't think he fits with the Magic. But he had a really good combine. Came in at maybe a shorter than expected 6 foot, 6.5 inches without shoes. But insert your jokes here, 7 foot, 2.5 inch wingspan. So again, that's pretty good. But that's not where it stops. Walker had a 38-inch max vertical leap and a 34.5-inch standing vertical leap, the fourth best at the combine. Even his 10.89-second lane agility drill, it's a drill where you kind of like, you run up the lane, defensive slide across, back pedal, run, defensive slide, back pedal. And that's a drill that tells you something, I guess. But that was one of the better times, especially for a big in the draft combine so Walker checks a lot of boxes. Again, you think about wingspan, which is obviously, you know, we joke about it, just go to the draft combine list, check who has the longest wingspan. That's kind of your pool for the Magic's draft picks. Jairus Walker has that. We're not going to sit here and deny that. We're not going to sit here and say that he doesn't have that. He checks that box. And he checks the high basketball IQ box. He checks the defensive attention to detail box. He checks a lot of boxes that you normally think that the Magic would like. And so while I don't think he is a great fit for the Magic, a good combine puts him in a position to be someone that they turn to, or be someone that they at least give a good look. I definitely think the Magic will do their due. Obviously, the Magic will do their due diligence on everyone, but certainly this is a player to keep an eye on, or a player to at least do a little more homework on before we completely rule him out. Again, I personally don't think his game fits what the Magic need. I think that he would have a tough time finding minutes with their group of guys, and I just don't think he would help. I think he would help a lot of teams. I think he'll be a good player, but I think that he doesn't help this team succeed in the way that other players would. We'll talk about one more player who I think helped himself a little bit at the draft combine that certainly the Magic will target, as well as a couple players who hurt themselves. We'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. But first, a quick word from our friends at eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with more than 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit, only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. So let's dive back into some of these draft combine numbers. Again, take them for whatever they're worth. You know, we joke about the wingspan thing here with the Magic. It is a known trait that Orlando likes versatile, multi-positional wings with plus wingspans. But it is important to note that can lead you into traps. You know, Tyler Hero came to Orlando. We said, oh, the Magic need shooting Tyler Hero would fit, and we almost completely eliminated him and docked him some picks. I know I docked him in my mock draft because he had a negative wingspan. His wingspan was shorter than his height. And that was almost immediately like cross him off the list, even though the Magic needed the shooting. Obviously, Tyler Hero turned into a pretty darn good player. You know, there's certainly some other questions about culture fit and personality, whether that's something the Magic wanted or would want to deal with. But Hero has stepped up in big moments for that Miami Heat team. They're certainly glad to have him. You know, again, the Heat won on one game one, but they're certainly a much more they're a dangerous team now, but they're a much more dangerous team if they have Tyler Hero in these playoffs. So for the Magic, then, One other player I want to note who probably helped himself a little bit. So again, take all this with grain of salt. Take all this for what it's worth. It's clay to be molded. It's not. You should not cross anyone off because of their wingspan. I'll put it that way. You can certainly boost someone because, okay, they have the physical tools to be good, but it's still about how they put it together. And I'm going to get to a player that really exemplifies that here in a minute. I just want to mention one more guy who helped himself during the NBA draft combine, and that's Arkansas guard Anthony Black. Anthony Black, if Jairus Walker had the best showing among forwards, Anthony Black probably had the best showing among guards. And so we're going to bump him up our big board a little bit for that. He measured it at 6'5", 0.75 inches without shoes, with a 6'7.5" wingspan. Not the greatest plus wingspan, but his athleticism showed in the agility drills. Posted a 32-inch standing vertical leap, which is 13th overall, and a 39-inch max vertical leap, which is 6th overall. So, Anthony Black, great defender at the college level, really smart playmaker. I think he's listed at what is he listed at? I don't know why. 6'5", 6'6". He's listed at 6'7". He's got point guard skills, so he's a smart and he's a smart player. I mean, he's not a dumb player. His jumper needs a lot of work, and that's why we've docked him a little bit in some of our early big boards. But he is someone that defends, has the athleticism to defend, has the athleticism to play above the rim a little bit. That's all really good. That I mean, and that shows on the tape. You know, you watch the tape, you can see that this kid is an athlete. And he gets, you know, he makes a lot of ground, makes up for a lot of his flaws because of that athleticism. Whether that translates to the NBA floor, I don't know. I've seen a lot of mock drafts put Anthony, have the Magic draft Anthony Black. If they're not drafting Cam Whitmore at 6, they're usually drafting Anthony Black. Personally, I don't think the Magic go in either direction. I certainly think Whitmore is more likely than Black. I think shooting is such a premium that's, I think those numbers matter. But I have seen a lot of people mock Black to the Magic. And so, again, a good showing at the combine. He has the athleticism traits. Not the longest player in the world, but a guy that I think has had a really good combine as far as what we're measuring. And that's at least a start. That's at least a place to start, and we'll see how things develop from there. So what about players that didn't help themselves at the combine? You know, I think beyond Anthony Black, Kaysen Wallace of Kentucky probably helped himself a little bit. 6'2.5" without shoes, 6'8.5" wingspan, so plus 6-inch wingspan is pretty good. But Kaysen Wallace didn't really show his athleticism. Only a 28-inch standing vertical leap. That's the third worst among guards. 36-inch max vertical leap. Not the greatest. Again, with the running start, he seemed to be fine. Just jumping up and down, not so great. So that's kind of the deal with Kaysen Wallace. Great defender. I don't think that's necessarily going to go away. The other player to look out for, Jalen Hood-Scafino, I think had a Jalen Hood-Scafino, another plus 6 wingspan. He's kind of a do-it-all, a little bit of an older player. Don't discount the older players, though. But players who struggle, who did not have the greatest combine. There are a few that I want to mention. The first one I want to mention is Ryan Rupert. He's from France, played for the New Zealand Breakers last year. The longest player in the draft. 6'6", without shoes, 7'2" wingspan. That is, you know, a plus 6 wingspan that gets you over 7 foot. That just feels like the stereotypical Magic draft pick. However, Rupert really did not measure well athletically. 27.5-inch standing vertical leap was the 9th worst at the combine. 32, and the guys that are, a lot of the guys that are beneath him are kind of centers, like Zach Edey. Zach Edey had the longest wingspan at the draft. He measured at like 7'2 with a 7'10 wingspan. Zach Edey is expected to be a second-round pick. A lot of people just don't think he has the mobility to be an NBA player. Certainly doesn't have the vertical for it. I think he had the worst standing vert in the entire combine. Rupert was not so far behind him. His 32.5-inch max vertical leap, also not super impressive. Rupert's a raw prospect anyway. He is still trying to figure out how to use his length to his advantage. I definitely had him a little bit on my radar just based off his length. But length alone isn't going to win you games, and length alone isn't going to get you. The other guy that I think did not measure out particularly well, Kobe Bufkin. He measured fine at 6'4", 0.25 inches without shoes, and 6'7", 0.75 wingspan. But his athleticism was only slightly better than Cason Wallace. And Wallace was a significantly better defender at the college level than Bufkin was. So you have guys here who, you know, might measure okay, but aren't showing the other parts of their game that can fill in. Now, obviously, with a lot of these guys, how you play on the court matters. It matters more how you play. It matters more what your game tape says. You know, if I were a scout, I would be weighing game tape and interviews and interviews character above everything else. This wingspan stuff, this other stuff, you know, the individual workouts aren't testing your basketball ability. They're testing your ability to be coached. They want to throw information at you. They want to throw some coaching at you, and they want to see how you work. It's not about whether you make shots or miss shots in a workout. It's how you work and how you relate to people giving you feedback and telling you what to do and how quickly you gain concepts. It's like doing a kind of like test almost instead of anything. It's not even necessarily whether you make or miss baskets. It's how you take the test. I would still weigh game tape very heavily, and I think the interview process, getting to know the player as a person, is far more important. This combine stuff, these measurements, and I know I just spent 20 minutes or so talking about it, is the lowest priority. It matters, but it doesn't matter. It matters because it's the clay that you get to work with, but it's not the most important thing. And so, like, look, Jairus Walker is a really good player. Having a plus wingspan, showing his athleticism, that's gonna help and boost a player like him. A player like Cam Whitmore, who I have some skepticism about, his athleticism measuring the way that it did makes me more likely to take him. Makes me more open to the idea of taking him because I think he can play at that level. And I think that is a big part of his game. That's what this is all about. That's what these combine measurements are really about, is putting these pieces together. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the playoffs over the last few days, the start of the conference finals. We'll get to that coming up here in just a moment. Back to talking about the playoffs. You know, I've been trying to reserve this final segment of the show to keep us up to date with what's going on in the postseason, because obviously, as a team trying to get in the postseason, a team that hopes to be in the postseason for several years in a row, these games tell us a little bit about what it's going to take to get there. And we've gone heavy on the draft the last few days, as we should. That I want to get back into the playoffs a little bit. And you know, what we've seen over the last 3 days is, I think, the biggest lesson is that star power means so much more later in the postseason. Jason Tatum scoring 51 points. The way Anthony Davis and LeBron James brought the Lakers back in the game, the way Nikola Jokic helped the Nuggets build the lead early on in that game, the way Jimmy Butler just completely trusts his teammates, but the way Jimmy Butler just completely dominates a game for the Miami Heat, and the way that Jason Tatum sometimes shrivels. I mean, the talk on Inside the NBA was really about how Tatum didn't get himself involved, and you know, Shaq and Charles, you know, and the way that they do, talked a lot about, you know, Jason Tatum's got to demand the ball, or Joe Mazzulla's got to draw a play up to get Tatum the ball or get Tatum a quality shot. And look, Boston went into a shell. You know, I think Jaylen Brown said after the game that they were too cool in game one, which at this point, Boston, what are you doing being too cool? What are you doing thinking that this is a typical eight seed? You have a losing record at home in the playoffs, or you're a 500 record at home in the playoffs. That's inexcusable. You ain't winning a championship that way. And Boston's really good, and the TNT crew mentioned this as well. They've been able to out-talent a lot of teams. But man, that team is missing that killer instinct that you got to have to win a championship. Miami has it. I don't know if they have enough talent to win this series. You know, they obviously have enough talent to win a game in this series. But Miami plays every game like they want it. Boston is not playing that way. And Boston hasn't played that way all playoffs. You know, maybe game seven against Philadelphia, Tatum played that way. And the rest of the team kind of followed his lead. But they are not playing like they want it. Or that they have to fight for it. You look at that Denver-LA series, both teams are fighting and game one fought tooth and nail. The Lakers had no business coming back in that game. They want it. Denver wants it. And it's going to be a war, and it's going to be a battle to win that series. And it's going to be a really fun and exciting series, obviously. Miami wants it. And unless Boston, and the thing about Miami is, Miami is so disciplined and so well coached. Shout out to Eric Spoelstra, one of the best coaches in NBA history. That team is so well coached that if you make a mistake, they're going to take advantage of it. And like I've said this all year, just looking at Miami stats and how Miami plays, Miami's only goal in a game is to make it close. Because if they make it close, they feel confident they're going to win. They won more clutch games than any team this year. Their little strategy is we don't have the talent to go toe-to-toe with you. So we're going to force you into enough mistakes, and we're going to punish you for every single one of those mistakes that the game is going to be close, and Jimmy Butler is so good, he's going to win that game for us. We will take those odds that we will win that game behind Jimmy Butler. And that's worked for them exceedingly well in the playoffs. I don't think they've lost a close game in the postseason. Maybe game four against the Knicks, or game five against the Knicks. They are so good at that, of turning losses into wins or turning close games into wins. You've got to be precise against them. And Boston is not precise. If there is a lesson with Boston, it is just because you have talent, just because you have playoff experience, just because you are a good team, doesn't mean you have enough. Doesn't mean that alone is going to do it. There's got to be some desperation. They had some desperation in game six in Philadelphia and game seven in Boston. And that got them into the conference finals. And then they got up big. They got cool, and Miami punished them. And once Miami gets rolling, there's no stopping them. And that's something you just got to remember. Your stars have to show up, and they have to bring the right intensity. We're seeing that in the West. We're seeing that from Butler. We don't always see it from Tatum and Brown. And that's kind of the Celtics' problem is, you know, the Celtics just, they can't get out of their own way. It's really frustrating. I can't imagine being a Celtics fan. Shout out to our friends at Locked On Celtics and John Corrales and our friend Keith Smith. I can't imagine how frustrating it is to watch that Celtics team because they can't get out of their own way. They should be the runaway favorites to win the championship right now. Denver's the favorite to win the championship right now, but Boston should be the runaway favorites, and they just keep making the same mistakes they made last year. The same mistake that gave Jimmy Butler a three-pointer to send the Miami to the finals in a game that Boston had no business losing in Game 7, even on the road. It's going to happen again if they're not careful. I want to thank you all again for listening to today's episode of Locked On Magic. Of course, find me on Twitter at @PhilipRR_OMD. Subscribe to the podcast and Apple Podcasts. Stitch your tune in Himalaya, Google Play, Spotify, Odyssey, and all of the places on podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. For the latest on the Orlando Magic, be sure to check out OrlandoMagicDaily.com. You can follow us there on Twitter at @OMagicDaily. On tomorrow's episode of Locked On Magic, if you are one of our everyday listeners, we truly appreciate you being an everyday listener if you are. If you're not, get ready for tomorrow's episode. We're going to go over the options for the Orlando Magic at 6-11, some of the early options. We've talked about these guys and generalities. We'll continue doing so for a little bit longer, but we will chat about the Magic's targets at 6-11 with a little bit more detail. We'll get to that on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Magic. But until then, for Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic, this has been Philip Rossman-Reich. We'll see you again next time for another episode of Locked On Magic.